My beloved, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome. Welcome to our service of worship this morning here at First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. Whether you are here in person in the sanctuary, whether you're joining us live, online, or watching several days from now, we are so very pleased that you are here on this wonderful second Sunday of the holy season of Advent. On Communion Sunday, we celebrate Communion on the first Sunday of each month, and we encourage you, whether you are here now on Zoom or even several days from now, to join us in the sacrament. This, after all, is the Lord's table. It is not mine, this church's, or even this denomination's. And so we invite you to join us in this wonderful sacrament. And speaking of Advent and sacraments and things that happen, on the back of your bulletin is five reasons to embrace the season of Advent. And this was written by a buddy of mine, Paul Burns, in Texas. I found it to be very, very thoughtful, very insightful. Paul's smarter than I thought to produce something like this. And I asked his permission, and he said, yes, I could print it in our bulletin. I hope that you have been paying attention to all of the announcements that were on the board earlier, on the screen. Please note that Growing Connections today, the Holy Disruptions, is going to be in the parlor, just down the hall here to my right. We will be meeting in the parlor. It was a little difficult, I understand, to hear last Sunday for some of that. I would also ask you to please note that the service of witness to the resurrection for Pedro Arellano's father is this coming Saturday, December the 10th, with visitation from 1 to 3, and then the service itself at 3 p.m. I would covet your prayers this coming Wednesday. I am have the honor, the privilege of presiding at a service for Barbara Ann Lindblad, who is being buried here. She's actually from Chicago, spent most of her life in St. Louis, but her husband's family is traditionally from this area, and this is where the family remains are. So I will be presiding at that service this coming Wednesday. And again, I appreciate your prayers for me during that time. Please note the many service or ministry opportunities, the items that are coming up ahead of us in the week ahead. Out in the narthex, of course, are many of our seasonal Advent ministries, opportunities to share from the abundance with which God has blessed us. And speaking of the abundance with which God has blessed us, I'm going to recognize Brother John to say just a few words for us, please. John?
Good morning. Pastor Ken has asked me to give everyone an update a little bit on the operations team's projects that we've had this summer. We've been real busy keeping up with the maintenance on the facility. The operation team consists of Jim Dassel, Mike Warnches, Dave Weber, Les Meyer, and myself. So we meet regularly to go over all of our lists of capital improvements that we're looking at. So quickly, we got the roof shingled this year. Our budget was $120,000, and we were able to shingle the roof. We had the cupola replastered. We had all the flashing around the building and on the edges of the cupola redone. And we had the gutters on this side of the building replaced because of the ice shelves and then reinforced. So we came in at $118,980. So I thought that was, we did a really good job keeping it all under budget this year. The raise the roof was from your gracious donations. We're able to raise around 54% of that 120, which is somewhere around $58,000. We had all the soffit lights replaced around the outside this year, going to LEDs. We only had five going, and we couldn't get ballast to replace them. So we ended up with replacing all the soffit lights in the evening, and I think the church really looks nice. We had all the parking lot lights. We had to replace some photo eyes and some things like that. That all got done. We got our new insurance policy, and the building cost, they took it up from $4.4 million to $5.6 million. So we know we're going to have more expense there. And we're also increasing our liability from $1 to $2 million. And the policy I just got Friday or this past week and tried to get through it is about a 13% increase. So it's going to be about $1,200 for next year that we're going to be paying for insurance. We're also installing 10 new security cameras. We've got five of them up. We've attached one to all the entranceways so we know who's coming in and going out. So we've got those, and we got one in the gathering room. The other five are, guess what, on back order. So we're waiting for Excel to get them, and we'll get those installed in the narthex, in two of the classrooms. And we were gracious enough that Head Start donated half the money for that. So we've got that almost done, but hopefully we'll get that project done shortly. And the last thing, we had all our furnaces inspected and maintenance done by AirTech this year. And they recommended that we replace 3 out of the 8 furnaces we have because we couldn't get enough chewing gum and baling wire to keep them going. So they broke some parts. They were able to glue them together, literally epoxy them together to keep the furnaces running. So we're replacing 3 furnaces, and we got to replace 2 of the thermostats as well. They've given us their initial quota, $21,000, and Session has approved that. So we are going to be doing that, replacing 3 of the furnaces up above the maintenance group over there. And that's going to start right now. We're planning December 27th, that Tuesday after the holidays, we're going to start putting those in. So if you have any questions on operations or projects, please feel free to see one of the operation team members or myself after the service, and I'll be happy to give you more details. Thank you.
Thank you, John. John keeps all that information in his head much better than I do. And since he had to be up here this morning anyway, I asked him to go ahead and just keep us updated. My wife sent me an article out of the Washington Post this week that one of the interesting things people who measure things have measured is that Americans as a whole are spending more time alone. Even before COVID, there was a noticeable change from 2000 to 2017 in the amount of time that individuals are spending by themselves. And we all need time alone, but we are communal creatures. We are meant to be in community with each other. And I think this is one of the gifts that the church can give to our culture today, is an opportunity to come and sit in the presence of others, in a fairly low-stress setting, an opportunity to make friendships, maybe not, pour your heart out friendships over coffee in the fellowship hall, but friendships, an opportunity to just chat and be with one another. And so here we are in community together, preparing to sit quietly and listen to God, who is also in our midst and wants to be in relationship with us. So friends, now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. Thank you.
On this Advent journey, we are mindful of the brokenness that the world surrounds us. Long for peace and passes all understanding. As we look beside us, we see fractured relationships and unforgiving hearts. We long for peace and passes all understanding. We look within ourselves. We confess the reconciling words we have yet to speak and restoring deeds that we have yet to do. We long for the peace that surpasses all understanding. As we light the candles of hope and peace, we make this commitment to sharing the love of God Christ with everyone whom we meet, and in that way to know God's presence and peace. We share the celebration of peace that surpasses all understanding.
When, O God, will the day of peace come? When will the nations stream to your holy mountain and beat their swords into plowshares? When will the long night of war and hatred give way to the dawn of love, righteousness, and joy? We are ready for the dawn, O Lord. Shine your light into our world, mighty one of peace. Illuminate the path and give us the wisdom and courage to follow your light. We pray in the name of the Prince of Peace. Amen.
We were the peaceful kingdom when we were.
John the Baptist cries echoes through the ages, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Here and now we go to God in humility and faith, confessing our sins." Please join me in our prayer confession. God of all creation, your vision of peace is beyond our knowing. We have been hurt and we have seen destruction. So we turn around and hurt others, destroying what you have called good. Forgive us and fill us with your knowledge, so we may help bring forth your peaceful kingdom. Now take a moment for your own personal silent reflection.
Christ comes into our world. Christ comes into our lives to purify us and give us another chance. Beloved, believe the truth of the gospel. We have another chance, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. Now that we are at peace with God, let us be at peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you please share God's peace with those around you? And this is a good time to send a short text message or emoji to a friend who cannot be here today. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, alleluia, alleluia. Gloria, gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, gloria, alleluia.
You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counseling and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around the waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The crow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Nursing children shall pray over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. On that day of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the people. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The epistle lesson comes from the Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for the instruction, so that by steadfastness and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and the encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another. Therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to partitions. And on the order, therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, John. It occurs to me that Jesse, we heard Jesse in both the Isaiah passage and in the Romans passage. Remember, Jesse is the father of King David, and all descendants then of Jesse, David, these are where Israel gets its kings. And of course, Jesus is a descendant of King David. And sometimes you hear talk about the Jesse tree in medieval art. It was very popular to draw a man lying on the ground, and up out of his stomach grows this huge tree. And the limbs and the leaves are named with the kings of Israel. And at the very top is Jesus. So that's why that Jesse character, we don't have, you know, as Protestants generally, we don't make a lot out of Jesse, but since he showed up there, he's an interesting guy. Before we get into the gospel lesson, let me just ask, do you have a crazy uncle in your family? Sometimes it's an aunt, but you know the one I'm talking about? Their clothes are always just a little off. You never can trust that they're going to say just the right thing. You know, they might be just a little embarrassing in public. Put it this way. Boy, I see some of you looking at each other, giving some strange looks back and forth. let's put it this way. If you're bringing your new sweetheart home to meet the family at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you don't want sweetheart sitting next to Uncle Jeff, to crazy uncle, right? That guy, John the Baptist, is our crazy uncle. As Christians, John the Baptist is our crazy uncle. His clothes are a little strange. He's not exactly politically correct, but he's our uncle, and we love him. And he has something to say. If we can filter out the way he says it, he's got something powerful to say to us today. So listen now as we bring the good news of God from Matthew chapter 3, beginning with the first verse down to verse 12. In those days, this is the time when Jesus is an adult, he's getting ready to start his ministry. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'But we have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And on that note, I would like to invite Miss Jennifer to come down, and the youngest of our disciples, as she brings a little good news to us all.
Can you hear me now? Awesome. New microphone, so we're getting used to that. Well, today I need you to come close to me, even if you don't want to, because I got to have you. I had to have you do some of the work for me today. So I brought magnets. Does anybody like magnets? All right. So what do magnets do? They stick to things. They pick things up. I did the bulletin boards the other day, and I dropped a bunch of staples on the floor. So you know what I did? I took my magnet and picked them all up so they can be a help to us. They actually can do all sorts of really cool things, but something happens. Sometimes the magnets come close and sometimes they go away, don't they? Have you ever noticed that? Anybody want to try? Let's see if I can do it this way. See, they don't touch all the way to the bottom. But if I turn it around, they go all the way down. But if it's turned the other way, they don't go that way. So you're probably thinking, why is she playing with magnets up in front today? Well, this story today about John the Baptist reminded me, we have the word repent. That's not a word that you use very much, is it? Do you ever say that to your friends? I'm going to repent today? No. So I thought maybe we'd talk about turning around, because repent means to turn around. The people were doing things that weren't pleasing to God. Maybe they were hurting other people, right? And when you're doing those things, when you're turned around, it's hard to connect to God. We turn our backs from God. God's still there, just waiting for us. But when we repent, we turn around, we do our best to live the way God likes us to live, we can connect with God. So it's good for us to remember that word repent. It's pretty tricky, but it's not really tricky at all. It just means to turn around. Remember, God is always there. God is waiting for his people to repent, to turn around, to look to him, to find our eyes on God always, and then connect. So I hope that that helps a little bit. I'm going to put these out on the counter so you can play a little bit with our magnets. But I want you to remember that what John the Baptist is asking us to do is to turn around and put our eyes on God and to keep our focus on God. Let's take a little time and let's say a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all the people that you put into our lives to help us learn more about you and more about your love. And we ask that you would help us to turn around, to keep our eyes on you. And we ask that you would help us to share that good news with everyone. Share the love that you give to us each and every day with all the people that we meet. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Our scripture lessons this morning. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, children. Our scripture lessons this morning at first glance seem like a rather odd assortment, don't they? You know, to begin with, we've got this wonderful passage from Isaiah, the peaceable kingdom, the time when God's justice and righteousness shall rule over the earth, when the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, the little child shall lead them. It's a wonderful passage, and it's been captured in art many, many, many times. This one is actually celebrating the arrival of William Penn and the Quakers to what will be Pennsylvania, when, of course, that was the goal of the Quakers, was to create God's peaceable kingdom in this new land. So it's a marvelous passage, isn't it? And like I say, you go out and Google it, there's lots of artistic representations of this passage from Isaiah. And then we come to the Romans passage, which also is wonderful, this abundance of hope, that hope is for everyone, even Gentiles, which is us. Remember, we are the Gentiles. Even Gentiles can abound with hope. And then there's John the Baptist. And there is nothing loving or peaceable about John the Baptist, is there? You brood of vipers, he says to the religious leadership. And vipers, it was believed at this time, it was believed that vipers devoured their young. So, you brood of vipers. What he is saying is that the religious leadership is tearing down the common people, not building them up the way they should be doing. You brood of vipers, do not dare to say to yourselves, do not presume to say to yourselves, well, we have Abraham as our ancestor. That's what matters, right? Do not presume to say to yourselves, well, I was baptized. I was confirmed. I go to worship. I pay my per capita. I read my Bible. I pray. I go to worship. That's what matters, right? Well, yeah, those things matter. And we need to do them. We need to do them all, and we need to do them well. But those are just the exteriors. And John is pushing to go somewhere deeper. John is pushing us to go beyond the exteriors into how we live. What is the kind of fruit, if you will, that we bear? Think of an apple tree. Picture an apple tree in your mind. And think about that tree. And when we look at an apple tree and we say, boy, that's a really good apple tree,
Are we admiring the color of the leaves? Are we celebrating the thickness and the majesty of the limbs? Are we admiring the size of the trunk or the beauty of the bark? No, of course not. When we look at an apple tree and say, boy, that's a really nice apple tree, we're talking about the apples, aren't we? We're talking about the quality of the fruit. That's what we're talking about. What kind of fruit are we bearing? Baptism and confirmation and Bible study and worship, all of those are important. They strengthen the tree. But the question is, what is the fruit that comes out of it? This is John the Baptist's question to us. Are we bearing the kind of fruit that somebody will say, that person is a follower of Jesus? Are we acting in such a way that someone will say, yes, I see that that person is a follower of Jesus? This is what John is getting at. Okay, John, well, that's very good. That's all well and nice. But what does that look like on the ground? What does a follower of Jesus do? Anybody? What does a follower of Jesus do? How do we live? What do we call that? Okay. All right, we need to start over here, guys. Look in your bulletin. Look in your bulletin. The fruits of the Spirit. In the epistles, in the letters portion of the New Testament, we read about how we're supposed to live. And it's called the fruits of the Spirit. We live faithful lives. We are faithful to God, to one another. We honor our basic commitments. And we rein in ourselves, right? We don't just go off on somebody, even if they deserve going off on, right? We exercise self-control. And we know that in God's good time, Jesus will return to us and shall reign, right, with justice and righteousness. But that's in God's good time. So we are patient. And while we are living patiently, we are also living joyfully. We are joyfully sharing the good news of God's love with others. And that means we act with goodness and gentleness and kindness. We are not mean or hard or cruel to others. And we live in peace. We are the makers of peace in our home, in our school, and in our work setting, in our social setting. We are the peacemakers. And we live in love. Not just loving ourselves, not just loving ourselves and God, not just loving ourselves and God and our family or our set or other Christians. We are loving everyone. We are loving all, even those who are very hard to love. These are the fruits that we bear. These are the fruits of those who are walking through life with Jesus. So when do we do that? Is it seasonal? Apples come in season, right? Or is it something we do constantly? Well, John says this is pretty urgent. You know, the axe is at the root of the tree, right? John says this is something we need to be doing now. What's that old saying about when is the best time to plant a tree? The best time to plant a tree was 30 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is today. Now, right now. This is how we are to live now, right now. Because when we live this way, when we live this way, we're not tearing down. We're building up. We're building up that community. We're building up the fruitful, peaceable community. We are creating God's heaven on earth. So yes, when we live according to these fruits of the Spirit, strengthening our tree with all those exteriors that we talked about, doing this with urgency, then yes, we are creating the fruitful, peaceable kingdom where all people are welcome and come together, where all fruits are lifted up and celebrated. And we are creating the kingdom of heaven on earth. I suppose then, when you look at it that way, that these scripture lessons are really not such an odd assortment, are they? They're really not, because when we bear those fruits, then we are creating that peaceable kingdom where everyone abounds with hope. And we live together in love. So friends, let's not delay. If we haven't planted that tree yet, let's plant it today, now, right now, and bear that fruit. My friends, by God's grace, may we bear good fruit. May we do it now and always. Amen. So what do we need to do to bear that fruit? You know, we need to have the limbs, the trunk, the leaves, but we need the nourishment. The sacrament of communion is that great sacrament of nourishment that empowers us, that lifts us up, that makes us able to bear that good fruit that we talked about. And so we come now to this time of celebration when we share this great meal with one another. And I encourage you, even if you and God are distant, to partake of this meal and be nourished to draw closer to the source of our light and our hope. Will you join me, please, in our responsive great prayer of communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
How can we thank you, O God, for sun and moon and stars, for breath and life and all things good, for your steadfast promise and your faithful love? For the day is surely coming when all things will be made new.
With saints, with angels, and with the whole creation, we join the ancient and eternal.
Yeah.
We give you thanks, Holy God, for Jesus, who came to be your living word, to baptize us with spirit and fire, to feed the hungry, to humble the mighty, and to announce the good news of your coming realm. With thanksgiving,
we remember how, when the hour had come, Jesus took his place at the table with the apostles. He said to them, "I will not eat this Passover again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Then Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
With thanksgiving and praise, we offer ourselves to you, sharing this holy meal, remembering Christ's dying and mercy, and praying, "Amen, Lord Jesus." Amen.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, this bread, this cup, these people. Christ's body and blood given in love for the world.
Make us one in the Spirit, one in the Church, and one with Christ our Lord.
Make us gentle, joyful, thankful people, serving our neighbors, worshiping you alone. Keep us in the peace of Christ until you gather us at your table in glory.
Even now, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord."
Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to partake together. First, the bread, remembering that this is Christ's body broken for us. In like manner, the cup, remembering that this is Christ's blood shed for us and our salvation. God, our hope, we give you thanks that you have given us this foretaste of the justice, righteousness, and peace of your promised creation. Strengthen us with this heavenly food as we seek to serve your holy realm. Lead us to live in joyful expectation of the coming again in glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us how to live well and how to bear good fruit. When he taught us how to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." My friends, having heard how much God loves us, that God calls us to live as fruitful trees in God's kingdom, and knowing that God fills us with hope, we have now partaken of this great spiritual feast that will allow us to bear good fruit.
that will influence our community and beyond. Let us begin by embracing the fruits of generosity and sharing with others that with which God has blessed us so much. Let us receive now our tithes and our offerings. Gracious God, we pray that you will take these gifts that you imparted to us, and now we impart again. Use these gifts, Lord, to help share the goodness of your peaceable kingdom, the place where all people are fruitful and where hope abounds. We ask this in the name of the living hope, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
sisters and brothers, again, remember the many opportunities for sharing out in the narthex. I want to thank the serving team for setting all this up for us. Remember growing connections down in the parlor fellowship across the way. And now, my friends, I say to you, this is urgent. The axe is at the foot of the tree. Live the fruits of the Spirit. Bear good fruit, knowing that as you do so, you are building up the fruitful, peaceable kingdom of God. My beloved, go out into the world bearing good fruit. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord this day and always look at you and grant you God's own peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen. Thank you.